Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the hazy shade of summer, where some people pour themselves a nice cold lemonade and sit on the porch. And some people watch a town hall meeting on CNN. What? Yeah, that's another night at Newsbusters. So they had this CNN town hall meeting with Joe Biden, the moderator this time being Don Lemon. And the thing that struck me first was the whole question of fact-checking. PolitiFact's amazing because they gave Biden a mostly true and a half-true, and then they came to Biden's defense and gave the House Republicans a false. So, okay, the mostly true statement is 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them, thereabouts, are people who hadn't been vaccinated. That's what Biden said. PolitiFact says, mostly true. All right, I don't have a problem with that. It's which facts you're choosing to check. That's what matters. Then there's the one that a lot of the fact checkers noticed. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. Now, that's basically, if you listen to that sentence, let's repeat. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. That's false. That's not, I mean, they gave it a half true. You're half likely to get it. I mean, it's a reckless thing to say. I think that if Trump had said it, they would have called it false. But since Biden said it, well, it's half true. All right, so here's where the House Republicans got a false. They sent out a tweet that said President Biden says he wants to ban handguns. So here's the quote that PolitiFact isolates. Here's what Biden said on CNN. Quote, the idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. And then he said, I'm continuing to push to eliminate the sale of those things. Now, how can you not hear that and say, oh, Biden's saying that he's willing to ban a 9mm pistol or a rifle, anything that can fire that many shots? Well, John Greenberg of PolitiFact says the House Republicans are false. He said those numbers Biden used apply to assault-style firearms and high-capacity magazines. As recently as June, when Biden rolled out his strategy to bring down murders, he said he wants to ban both. Well, there is such a thing as assault-style handguns. You put assault pistols in Google, and you're going to get some, including 9mm pistols. So we go back to this whole idea of, yes, the Democrats want to ban guns they can define as assault weapons. But what we know with PolitiFact is they're going to come running to the defense of Biden. Biden also made claims that PolitiFact didn't check, Don Lemon didn't check. Early on, he suggested that more people in America have died from COVID than in all our major wars combined. Now, he used to say that he'd compare World War I, World War II, and Vietnam. That's a more limited group. But all our major wars combined. The Department of Veterans Affairs said there are more than 650,000 battle deaths before you even count 300,000 other deaths in theater. Here's the funny part. As Biden was speaking, PolitiFact tweeted, that doesn't seem right. Our last tally of all war deaths was 1.3 million. This was for an old fact check about gun violence deaths being more gun deaths than war deaths. So PolitiFact tweeted, this what Biden said doesn't seem right. But when it came time the next day to do their fact checks, they didn't go there. Probably because what Biden said was wrong. It was just wrong. Biden also claimed, they aren't saying Joe Biden is anti-police. Cops are not saying that about Joe Biden. They know me, period. Well, in fact, cop unions endorsed Trump in 2020. And even at the Republican convention, they had a speaker named Michael McHale, president of the National Association of Police Organizations, who said bluntly, your choices are the most pro-law enforcement president we have ever had, or the most radical anti-police ticket in our history. So Biden, again, was wrong to say, no cops are saying I'm anti-police. You would be wrong about that. We'll have more. We can discuss the town hall further with Curtis Houck. We watched it in real time. We'll be back after this.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
We're back in the Newsbusters podcast with Newsbusters managing editor Curtis Houck, who was feeling so lazy and hazy about summer, he wore shorts to the office. What is with that?
Yeah, it was one of those things. I went to the gym this morning. I was at a Capitals yard sale, quote unquote, indoor yard sale downtown at the arena. Brent Baker and I are diehard Caps fans. And then I got my car to drive over here afterward, and I got all the way here, and I realized, ugh. I'm still wearing shorts. But the good news is, serious half joke here, at least I made it back alive.
Yeah, well, it's daylight. But I joked with him. He said, I'm sorry, I wore shorts today. I said, it's Friday. Casual Friday. Some people take it more extreme.
Kyle Drennan said it was a fortunate mistake.
So, yes, we... from our separate locations, we're watching the CNN Town Hall on Wednesday night for, oh, geez, it was 8 to 9:20, and then I also stuck around for some of the after party with the panel discussion.
You're going to call that an after party?
Well, they thought it was an after party. One of the things that we do that we were looking for is... what is the questioners? Where are they coming from? How are they identified? Mm-hmm. They tend to identify them by party. But that's not always the best indicator of where they're coming from. I thought, for example, that the Republicans they called on here were asked very bland, sort of objective questions. And then the Democrats would come on and scream about the filibuster. So what did we find? What was the count?
Yeah, so we found that there were 11 audience questions. We found 8 were Democrats and only 3 were Republicans. And then and you talked about the 3 Republican questions. One was a pediatrician asking about vaccine misinformation, which some people on Twitter on the right were like, that person's not a real Republican, but that's another.
We're the party of misinformation on vaccines.
Right, that's another podcast for another day.
Yes.
The other one was kind of bland, but it was good, asking about inflation. How are you going to ensure people aren't left behind in gas prices, which also leads to the fact-checking point that you kind of talked about earlier, that the media have kind of employed this trick about inflation and gas prices, saying, well, Biden can't really do anything about it, so why worry about it?
Yeah, and Jimmy Carter also wasn't responsible for inflation. But I mean, yeah, this is what fact checkers do now, is that when you blame Biden for anything, you can't do that. You can't factually blame him for anything. And that's just one of those things that underlines what the fact checking is like.
Right.
And then the other question.
Yeah, it was a restaurant owner, owns 19 restaurants, I believe, employs hundreds of people. He pointed out to Biden, I'm having a hard time hiring people. A lot of people like the unemployment benefits because the math works out.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do about that? Well, and of course, typical Biden fashion, he decides to go the condescending route. Because, A, he's a man and not someone he'd hit on, so he's not able to talk about that. So, first of all, he tells him, well, we kept you open last year.
Yeah.
Because the government, we helped keep you afloat. So there was that insult, and then the other one, he continues to just trash him.
Let's remember, he was not a member of the federal government last year.
Correct, exactly. So it's very interesting you point that out. You give credit to the Trump administration. Oh, PPP is your idea? No. And then his Joe's other insult to him was, well, it's probably because people don't like working in your restaurants anymore because the conditions aren't good and you don't pay enough. You need to pay $15 an hour or you may have to think about doing something else with your life.
Oh.
Which is just the worst thing in the world. He makes like work. We're not here to, as a side note, we're not denying that working in a restaurant can be tough work. Service industry, people do Herculean tasks and jobs and it's tough. But you can make good tips, and some people do it for a living, and some people love it. They're people, persons, and obviously that's a really good profession for that. But, I mean, it's such a disaster what he was doing with this.
It seems to me that as you suggested, the first Republican question any journalist could have asked. It was very bland. It was like, what should we do about this problem of vaccine misinformation? The inflation question was stated in a way that it was like, what do you think you should do about this issue? And even the Republican, the restaurant owner said, what will you do to incentivize employees to return to work? I mean, none of these are Jim Acosta style questions.
No, and that's the point. And that's why it was kind of interesting that the restaurant owner asked a very straightforward and respectful question. And Biden lost his poo.
Yeah.
Like, he just lost his mind, blew a gasket about, we kept you open. It was something I wrote in the blog. It was like, he made it seem like working in a restaurant is like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle or something.
Yeah.
Right? But as you pointed out, to move to the Democrat questions, the activists really came out in that. You had some people like the first question was, what are you going to do? Are you people that are scared again? There was a question about opiate addiction. I've talked about that in my story as being mm-hmm. really good. You know, there was a union guy that asked about the bridge, the Spance Bridge, I believe, spanning Ohio and Kentucky.
Right, there in Cincinnati.
That's been a huge thing for multiple presidencies now that nobody's stepped up to replace. But then, as you pointed out, there were ones about immigration, the lady with like the little like splat of purple or pink hair asking about what are you going to do for immigrants here. The one that was the worst was we had this college grad tell Biden, quote, isn't it logical to get rid of the filibuster so we can protect our democracy and secure the right to vote because there's GOP efforts, quote, efforts to restrict voting rights. And this led into this huge discussion that Don Lemon had, where Don Lemon went full Joy Reid talking about how his grandmother had, you know, to guess beans in a jar or bubbles on a soap bar in order to be able to vote. So the implication here is that voter integrity measures like voter ID or knowing the last four digits of your social security number
are like counting jelly beans
or bubble soap, you know. And Lemon said that suggesting that having these things go into effect, allowing them to go into effect on the state level and not having the feds step in would be an offense to, quote, people who fought and died for voting rights.
Yeah, why is protecting the filibuster more important than voting rights? And so that a lot of people on Twitter reacted to that and just simply said, how is this man a journalist when he's in there basically demanding, people who look like me want you to get rid of the filibuster. Why aren't you doing it? I mean, there was a real anger there, and it was a demanding tone. And that's where you're like, how on earth is this what you would call a guy, a moderator?
Right, and you're yelling at this old man who doesn't know where he is half the time. It's not a good recipe for success here. And Biden's trying to point out the fact correctly, arguably you could say, that getting rid of the filibuster would cause chaos.
And, yes, credit to Biden for at least thinking ahead to say, you know, it's quite likely the Republicans will take back the Senate in 22. You know, I think he Biden's enough of an institutionalist that he wants to keep the filibuster, but I think he also knows what could happen to him as president if the Republicans get the Senate back.
Right. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And, of course, the problem being that what can be implemented could be very easily undone by getting rid of the filibuster here. So you pointed this out in your column, and you pointed it out on Twitter as well, which is, these people, every damn day, for the last 5-6 years, talked about, oh, Fox News, state-run media, sucking up to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what then was the CNN town hall that we saw on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, and so we had the CNN town hall in Cincinnati. We had one in February.
Yes,
and then didn't they have one
in September?
Was that the one in Scranton?
Correct. That one was definitely a little bit more interesting. Yes, February 16th was that one. In the 8-3 breakdown in that one, the skew in the first town hall in February as president was they had 12 questions, 6 Democrats, 4 independents, and 2 independents who voted for Trump. So no Republicans in that one. So CNN was trying to make progress, I guess, here, but it still was really lip service, so to speak, here. It was pretty pathetic here. You also had a lady that was demanding Biden reject bipartisanship because she's just, quote, dismayed at how often Democratic plans for all these different issues are held hostage by the utopian need to gain bipartisan support. And she urged him to realize that, quote, abandoning the need for bipartisanship is the right answer.
Yeah, that was even on screen. You know, why aren't we abandoning bipartisanship? This is CNN. These are the people that canceled Crossfire because it was too partisan.
Jon Stewart was mean to them one time. Like, oh, ooh.
Back then, Tucker Carlson was canceled by Jon Stewart, but only to rise again. But it is kind of interesting because you would have thought that Biden could have said to this woman, it's not utopian, but bipartisanship isn't utopian. It's utopian to think you can pass your entire leftist agenda with 50 senators. That's utopian. You know, if you want to get to 51, you're going to have to find somebody to vote with you.
Yeah, and speaking of Orwellian, I want to make sure we talk about this before we run out of time, which is Lemon talking about Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
So there was this opiate aunt question from this Democrat woman. It was, I was really moved by it. I thought Biden gave a pretty good answer talking about it, talking about what
she lost her son.
Yeah, her point was, especially with the pandemic, this isn't an issue of taking pills at a party or going to a nightclub.
Yeah, it's
in
not
the last
partying.
Year, it's it's not partying, and in the last year and a half, it's moved towards online. People buying things online and then ingesting them. And still laced with fentanyl. But then Lemon comes in and talks about, well, you've been very open about your son's problem with addiction. So then he gives him the floor. And then Biden goes, I'm so damn proud of my son. He just wrote a book about how he overcame being addicted. He did it. He's doing it. And he's in good shape. Thank God. Okay.
It's available on Amazon.com.
Yes. There's only 1,000 people bought it. Jimmy Kimmel probably bought 20 copies when he had them on. You got to fill the, you know, the
coffer somehow.
The grandchildren that Joe Biden doesn't remember exist need to be able to go to college. So that's kind of what Hunter Biden's up to here. And that's a separate discussion and talking about his art and everything. But our point was, what in the world? Like, this was such a good moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then Lemon is like, oh, Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the reporting in current days and weeks has been that there's this art auction. And it used to be where they said, we've got this neat deal where nobody will know. Hunter Biden won't know. Joe Biden won't know who bought Hunter's art. And they thought somehow this was genius. And of course, none of us would know who bought Hunter's art either. How's that for ethical?
Right.
And then, now it's emerging, and I don't know if this was before or after the town hall. It was emerging that, no, Hunter's going to meet the potential buyers before the auction.
They're going to have a showcase of some sort. And then Psaki tried to say in Thursday's briefing, no, Hunter's not going to talk about purchasing of the art at the art event. Like, what? So that's like not talking about baseball at a Nats game or not talking about beer at a beer garden or, you know,
right.
If you're into Stormy Daniels, seeing Stormy Daniels at a strip club, that's that you're not talking about. I mean, they're trying to avoid all these different topics here without actually saying it. There's no way Jen Psaki actually believes this crap. And for Lemon to kind of go off on this little side adventure here before ending by talking about dreamers and you know, what does he like the most about being in the White House?
Yeah, that was the fun part, was that some people on Twitter were amused that he said, "So, Mr. President, you've been big guy for 6 months now." And we were like,
oh,
I think Hunter called him big guy before that. Get big guy 10% of the profits.
Yeah, I was going to say that. The question is, did Don Lemon actually know, like, and that's what's so
crazy.
Come
on, it's Don Lemon.
With this media blackout, like, what are the chances that these people don't even know who Tony Bobulinski is? And that just is just sad commentary on the state of our partisan media. Speaking of partisan media, the ratings came in, and oh boy, they were so bad. They averaged 1.5 million viewers. MSNBC, 1.6. Whoops. So MSNBC's regular programming beat CNN. Fox News, 2.7.
So that's the overall audience?
Yes.
And not in the demo?
Oh, the demo. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, the fun thing was, and you notice this whenever, you know, you'll see if Fox has a debate, especially during the primaries, you'll see CNN and MSNBC do specials or score big interviews. MSNBC has a debate. You'll see CNN try to counter program. Sometimes they'll do specials, like Cuomo did a thing on opiates or mental health one time, just kind of surrendering almost the ratings or whatever. But sometimes they do try to counter program to try and draw people in. You see other networks do that when they don't have the Super Bowl. They'll put some big movie on that night. Fox turned around and brought in Ron DeSantis, Marco Rubio, Maria Salazar, and Miami Mayor Francis Suarez from Miami to talk about Cuba. So that was a huge draw for them. But CNN builds up all this stuff, and it didn't go so well. Our friend Brian Flood pointed out that every Fox town hall event over the past 5 years beat CNN's event with Biden. And they also, in the demo, Fox won 464,000 to 306.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, it's like every other night. Every other weeknight on cable, and weekend nights too. But I mean, CNN, even when it tries to, even when the president says yes to an 80-minute bath,
I said foot massage.
There you go. And then the but yes, I was thinking when I was comparing this to something like the Fox Town Hall with Trump at the Lincoln Memorial. And you'll remember that people got so upset. It's like every time Fox News gave Trump a town hall was offensive anyway. But then to have it at the Lincoln Memorial, they were really, really upset. I thought it was really funny then when Lester Holt was hosting from the Lincoln Memorial. I'm like, remember when this used to be upsetting? But, those, I think you could argue, if you go back and look at the transcripts, that Brett Baer, those people had tougher questions. Or at least more, they weren't suck-up questions. I mean, they probably did ask, you do ask some of the personal questions. That's not off limits to say, how do you like being president? But you certainly wouldn't argue, well, we really gave him a rough time.
Right, that's kind of how you end a briefing, just kind of like how, if you listeners notice, a newscast, typical newscast will end with sports or some viral video about pandas hugging each other or something.
Well, and whether it's a Fox town hall with Trump or a CNN town hall with Biden, you might want to say, well, we want our base to be in a good mood when it's over. So it's not surprising. I think they asked the same exact question in February on CNN. Oh, how do you like being president? It's one of those like, well, here's a softball. Say whatever you want. You're president. You get to say whatever you want. But all I know is that... you can say, look, this was Biden on the record for 80 minutes. And so that's actually, you wouldn't exactly count this as an actual formal press conference, because I think reporters have more of an impotence with something that high visibility to ask tougher questions. I just want to close on this whole thought, is that anybody who thinks that these are like random people that wandered in off the street in Cincinnati, that's not the way it is. It was an invitation-only audience. And we're sitting there. I was watching the after party, and you can see Biden waving at the crowd that's still there. And, Anderson Cooper's talking over here in the background. They're giving him a standing O. I mean, and you could see this when they said, let's wreck the filibuster. They had applause for 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. And the bipartisan question and the immigration question, the crowd just went bananas.
So, yeah, you could clearly tell that invitation-only audience meant, you know, overwhelmingly Biden audience. You know, the Republicans, you know, there was nobody there to boo or laugh at inappropriate times. That if you would just let everyone in, like anybody who can spend $20 gets in, obviously for somebody like CNN, that's just not, you know, it needs to be much more organized than that.
You invite party officials in, you invite local state representatives, you invite the mayor. That's how these audiences work. You'll get typically it's at a college, you'll get the president of the College Republicans and the president of College Democrats. You'll get the Young Socialists. You'll get, as we got at the Biden town hall on ABC, the Afro diaspora.
Oh, boy.
That lady from Kutztown, from Philadelphia, but Kutztown a little ways up to the northwest of Philly. You get local people like that, local activists. So, and the same goes for news reports. I think that's the other thing. We've talked about this many times over the years, well before I was here, probably before I was even born, that these random people that they interview, PR firms help set these people up.
Yep.
And a quick Google search in a lot of the time will give you an answer. Like, this person ran as a Democrat like a year or two ago as a state rep.
Yes.
But they're just a normal person. And I don't deny that political figures don't have normal people problems, but the appearance is what we're talking about here.
Well, this is why we're sitting there watching these, they'll say, and John Smith is here, and I will go into open secrets or whatever and look for campaign donations. Because if they present somebody as a Republican and they donated $1,000 to Biden, that's going to be fun. My whole point was simply, to call this a town hall, you know, it's a Potemkin town hall. It's not, you know, it implies that somehow this is just an open forum. It's not an open forum at all. It's the same way with the town hall style presidential debates. It may be a style, but you can't really call it spontaneous in any way. I mean, CNN.com put out an article before, like, here's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So, you know, they had it cooked as terms of what was going to be discussed. And I would imagine that every one of those questioners had their question written and then approved, which is the way they do it at debate. So that's the thing about this, is this is not democracy. You want to say, oh, you know, we are the people that saved democracy. This wasn't democracy. It was a carefully organized forum for the president to look good. So that's why we get on and we watch these things. In prime time.
So you don't have to.
Yeah, that's right. That is especially stuff like CNN and MSNBC. So if you want that stuff and you don't want to watch it yourself, you come to Newsbusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.